Gospel lesson for the morning. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 44. It's a familiar story, and out of reverence for the Gospel, I'll ask you to stand for the reading. Hear now the Word of God. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And then the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not take care of you?" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
There was once a little boy who wanted to meet God. And he knew that it would be a long trip to meet God. So he packed a suitcase. And in that suitcase, he put some Twinkies and cans of root beer. That was his two favorite foods. And he set off on his journey. And he only had gone a few blocks when he passed an old woman sitting on a park bench feeding some pigeons. And so he sat down with her because she looked sad and she looked lonely. And he opened his suitcase and he took out a package of Twinkies and he offered them to her. And she gratefully took those Twinkies and smiled warmly at the little boy. And her smile was so wonderful that he wanted to see it again. So he opened his suitcase again and gave her a can of root beer. And once again, she took it and she smiled at him. And the boy was delighted. And they sat there all afternoon, eating Twinkies and drinking root beer and watching the pigeons without even saying a word. Well, the afternoon went on and it began to get dark. And the boy realized that it was probably time for him to start home because his mother was going to begin to worry. And so he picked up his suitcase and he began to leave. But before he left, he turned around and he hugged this older woman. And she gave him the biggest smile of all. When the little boy got home, he asked his mother. His mother asked him, "Well, what did you do today, son?" And she noticed how happy he was and how content he seemed. And he told her, he said, you know, I had lunch with God. And you know what? She has the most beautiful smile that I've ever seen. Meanwhile, that older woman returned home. And her son noticed how happy she looked. And she said to her son, you know, I sat in the park today and I had Twinkies with God. And you know what? He's younger than I thought he was. That's a wonderful story that's gone around the internet for a while, and every time I read it, it warms my heart. And it kind of reminds me today of the passage of Scripture that Jeff just read for you. Think about it with me for a minute. What does God look like? Who does God resemble? Can you even really see the face of God? Well, this morning we are celebrating Christ the King Sunday. And we're reminded that Christ came to be one of us so that we could see God, see Him physically in front of us, and learn His ways. He became one of us so that He could be a sacrifice for our sin. What a wonderful King we have. So if you're looking for the face of God, all you have to do is look at Jesus. Or at least, that's where we ought to be looking, is at the face of Jesus. This passage talks about a time of judgment, a time where people will be judged for what they have done and for who they are. And notice in the Scripture that the attitude of the people toward others not like them or those who were in need determines whether they are sheep or goats. I had to think about that for a minute. It's their attitude. Yeah, they did good things, but you also have to have the loving, caring attitude. Do you treat everybody you meet like an old goat? Or do you treat them like the children of Christ, the sheep of God's fold? You and I have been blessed beyond measure. We've been talking about that now all week. We talked about it in our sermon last week. We've enjoyed the time together with family and with friends, celebrating Thanksgiving. We have been blessed. Now it is our call of God to be a blessing to the world. We are blessed. Now go out and be a blessing. You see, we know the good news. We are the ones who have heard the word and believed it. If we didn't, we wouldn't be here this morning. And so we have the message to share that we've been created in the image of God. From the very beginning of time, God has claimed us as His own. Even when we disobey and when we're rebellious, God still loves us. And God sent His only Son to be the ultimate sacrifice. And He paid the ultimate sacrifice for me and for you. And through Jesus' death on the cross and the resurrection from the grave, our sins have been forgiven. And we've been given eternal life. And Jesus promised us that He would be with us always. And He would manifest Himself in our lives through the Holy Spirit. And if that's not enough, we've been made joint heirs with Christ. We are God's children, brothers and sisters of Jesus. We know that good news this morning, and it flows through our soul like blood flows through our bodies. We breathe it in every breath that we take. We are blessed beyond measure, and we're called to be a blessing for others simply by living like Christ and by looking at the world and the people of the world through the eyes and the heart of Jesus. And if we can do that, then we will bless those around us and we will see the face of Christ in the faces of those that we touch, that we talk to, that we help, that we serve. We've just celebrated Thanksgiving Day, and I'm sure that you've been together with your family and you've shared a huge meal and of all the fixings, the turkey and the dressings, and it's been a great time of fellowship. Now, sometimes we don't always get along with everybody in our family. Amen. And there may have been some tension in the room when we were there this weekend. But all that was put on the back burner because we were together celebrating Thanksgiving. And we enjoyed getting stuffed and finding a comfortable spot to take a nap that afternoon. So we need to look at our families and see Jesus. But we especially need to look at the strangers that come into our midst through the eyes and the heart of Jesus. Because you never know when Jesus is going to show up. Just like the story of the little boy and the older lady. You know, I believe we're given opportunities to see Jesus every day in ways that we can't even imagine. And I believe that all we have to do is just open our hearts, open our minds to see the needs of those around us. We have to be willing to touch those people who we see as untouchable or whose others see as untouchable. We have to be willing to step out of our comfort zones. We have to take our focus off of ourselves and put it on others as we seek to serve. The first time I went on a mission trip was about 5 years ago now. And I must admit, this was an international mission trip. First time I'd ever been on an international mission trip. First time Scott had ever even been out of the country. We had to get him a passport for the first time. And I must admit that I wasn't real excited about going. I was pretty scared. Here I was going to a country where I didn't speak the language, didn't know the traditions of the country, didn't know what I was going to find there when I got there, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't even know what serve meant at that point. But I went. And I saw Christ everywhere I turned. And you know what? I came home from that mission trip more blessed than anything I had been able to do with those people. Not because I was a superwoman or I went over there and I fixed all their problems and made their lives better and gave them Jesus. Jesus was already there. They already had that. But I was blessed because I saw Christ in them, and I hope that they saw Christ in me. One of my favorite memories of our first trip to El Salvador, we were all sitting in a church one afternoon, and we were getting ready for a vacation Bible school with the children. And one of the little boys, his name was Julio, And Julio was the son of a Methodist minister there in El Salvador, and we were all sitting around, and we were trying to communicate, and of course that was difficult. But Scott was listening to his music on his iPod, and the song Mr. Roboto came up, and Julio knew the words, every single word, to Mr. Roboto. One of my favorite memories is Scott and Julio singing Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto, when they couldn't understand each other. It was amazing. That's one of my favorite memories. You see, we meet Jesus, and we can see the face of Jesus in everyday things, in the faces of family, in the faces of our friends, in the faces of strangers who don't know about Jesus. And you never know when you're going to meet one of them. And you never know when you might actually see the King in someone else's eyes. So we need to treat everybody as if they are a child of Christ, as if they are King Jesus themselves. So this morning, as we continue in our weekend of celebration, where we are have been together with family, and as we prepare to go back to our regular everyday life, I hope that you will give thanks that you have been blessed with the good news of Jesus Christ that allows you to live like Christ. And I hope that you will take every opportunity that you get to be a blessing to someone else. You are blessed to be a blessing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his kingship, for him leading and guiding us and giving us the great example of love that we so desperately need. Now help us know that we are blessed and help us be a blessing. In the name of Christ, amen.